You know, when I was in my 20s, my husband and I decided to go on a backpacking trip to Australia and New Zealand for a few months. And prior to this trip, we were somewhat familiar with glamping, you know, that comfortable type of camping in a trailer with running water and electricity and showers nearby. But for our trip to Australia and New Zealand, we were going to try camping in a different sense, and we were going to simplify a bit. And we were living in Saskatoon at the time, and we went shopping for all the equipment that we would need. So we bought backpacks and a tent, sleeping bags, and really compact cookware and various things that could fit into our backpack and could be easily carried for the few months that we were away. But before going to Australia, we decided that we would go camping near Saskatoon one weekend just to try out our equipment. And so we went to a lake near Saskatoon, and it was not a fully developed campsite. We pitched our tent on a field, a sort of an open field near this lake. And after we had everything set up that evening, early in the evening, we grabbed our flashlight and we went for a walk. And the scenery was stunning at that time of year in Saskatchewan, and it was beautiful, and I felt it was so life-giving and peaceful just to be on this walk together with my husband, enjoying the beauty of God's creation. And then our flashlight died, and so we decided to head back to our tent, and it was already so dark. On that evening, it was overcast, and so we didn't see the light from the stars or the moon. And we were far enough away from the city that we didn't see the city lights. And this was in the day before cell phones. So it was so dark, and we were unfamiliar with this place for the most part. And so it was actually so challenging getting back to our tent, and I was feeling concerned and wondering how long it would take us to get back there. And I also was feeling some fear rising in my heart as well as we heard coyotes howling nearby. So, you know, it would have been so much easier getting back to our tent if our flashlight was working. And so having a light on our path there would have literally been so helpful. And metaphorically, too, I think we could have used some light and guidance about how to camp in the outdoors of Saskatchewan at the time. So we're in a sermon series right now, which is called Reimagining the Church. And in this series, we've been looking at taking a fresh look at ancient images of the church, including the way that the church is not a building, but it is a spirit-filled humanity and a community of worshipers. It's a place of healing, a family, a bride, and a body. And today we're going to be looking at the ways that the church is like a light in the darkness. I'm going to read from Scripture in Matthew 5. And in this part of Scripture, Jesus is speaking to crowds of his followers on a mountainside. And I'm going to read from The Message, which is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this part of Scripture. So this is what Jesus was saying that day. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So Jesus is calling us to be light on a hilltop or a light stand. He's calling us to shine and bringing out God colors in the world. And about this idea of light, we hear more about this in John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus says more about it. He says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so in this message, we're going to explore two movements. We're going to look, first of all, at the ways that we can carry Christ in our lives, and then we're going to look at ways that we can express his light as well. In the early days of the church, lighthouses became known as symbols of Christianity. And so this lighthouse here was built in approximately 200 BCE in Egypt, and it was called the Pharos of Alexandria. At that time, it was considered to be one of the seven wonders of the world. It was more than 350 feet high, and there was a fire burning at the top of the lighthouse, which was guiding vessels in the darkness of night, and it was also guiding mariners, helping them to find a safe route along that rocky coast. And it took a coordinated effort, as you can imagine, 350 feet high, to light that fire and then to keep it going as well. And so metaphorically, that fire at the top of the lighthouse can be compared to the light of Christ in our lives. So how can we have this light of Christ burning in our hearts, and how can we keep it going? Brian Stevenson is a lawyer and a social justice activist and the founder of the Equal Justice Initiative. In a TED Talk about 10 years ago, he was sharing about his experiences growing up in a traditional African-American home. He was describing his grandmother, who was the matriarch of his family. He described her as being strong and tough and powerful and loving. He was sharing that each time he saw his grandmother when he was little, she would go up to him and she would give him a hug. And she would squeeze so tightly that he could barely breathe. And then she would let him go. And 1 or 2 hours later, his grandmother would go up to him again and say, "Brian, do you still feel me hugging you?" And if he said no, she would assault him again with something like a bear hug. And if he said yes, then she would let him alone. Brian said that his grandmother had a quality where he always wanted to be near her. And he said that her love for him shaped him and formed him. And so this can be a beautiful picture of our relationships with God. As we experience God's love, it can be something like the way that Brian's grandmother hugged him every time that she had a chance. And there's a vital connection between experiencing God's love and being filled with his light. As we learn to experience his love, Christ's light is poured into us, and it's like setting up a fire ablaze in our hearts. And going back to the lighthouse in earlier days, you know, when fires were used at the top of lighthouses, they had to be tended to so that they would keep on burning. And this is similar to our lives as well. Once we have the light of Christ in our hearts, we do need to tend to it so that we can continue to shine brightly for him. And spiritual practices in our lives are ways that we can open up our hearts and our lives to receive more of the light of Christ on an ongoing basis. Spiritual practices like getting outside and enjoying the beauty of God's creation, like silent and contemplative prayer, like worshiping together, like reading scripture and meditating on it, like life groups and keeping a Sabbath. These are ways that we can open up our hearts and our lives to receive more of Christ's light. These are also ways that we can be shaped and formed. Rich Velotis wrote a book which describes many spiritual practices, and he also discusses their transformative value. And this book is called The Deeply Formed Life. And in this book, he wrote the following: "Our most effective strategy in reaching a world for Christ is founded in the kind of people that we are being formed into. As we experience God's loving embrace, and as we receive his spirit and are shaped by him, we can shine, something like a lighthouse along a coastline." I'd like to explore just for a few minutes now three different ways that we can express God's light and Christ's light in the world, the ways that we can shine and bring out God colors in the world, like we read about a few minutes ago. When my boys were little, they went through a phase where they needed or wanted to be first so much of the time. So if we went out to the playground, they wanted to be first to be pushed on the swing. If we went shopping or to a mall or to the office building, and as they were approaching an elevator, they wanted to be first to push the elevator button. It's so important. And they wanted to be first in line at preschool and kindergarten. And so during that phase of my life, I often heard "me first" quite a few times. I imagine I was probably the same way when I was a child. And as we grow and mature as adults, though sometimes we still have this deep instinct to put ourselves first. And yet this is something that Jesus calls us. He calls us to do something different. You may have heard of the golden rule or the law of love in Scripture. We can find it in Matthew 7, verse 12, where Jesus said, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." If we're shaped into people who put others first, if we're shaped into people who really generously love others around us, and putting aside our me-first tendencies sometimes, you know, this can be really different, and it can be unique, and it can catch people's attention. Simone Weil wrote something about this. She said, "Live a life so mysterious that the only explanation for your life is the presence of a living, loving God." Generously loving others is one way that we can shine and bring out light God colors in the world. Another way that we can express Christ's light around us as well. And a second way that we can express Christ's light is through wholehearted effort in everything that we do. Jesus calls us to let our lights shine in our homes, with friends and family, you know, in school and in the workplace. And the Apostle Paul wrote us an encouragement about this as well in Colossians 3. He wrote, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." I went to a large public high school in Saskatoon, and my favorite teacher there was a very dedicated teacher. He taught with such insight and wisdom, and he also showed a lot of care and concern for his students. He was a beacon of light in that large public school. He wasn't allowed to share the message of the gospel, you know, with his students, but he did tell us that he went to church on the weekends, and he also told us which church this was. When I was growing up, my parents took me to church almost every Sunday. But when I was in high school, I rebelled somewhat for a number of years. And I went so far as to call myself an atheist for a while. But when I was 22 years old, I felt the Holy Spirit calling me back to himself. And so I decided to go attend this church that I knew my high school teacher was part of. He had lived with such integrity of character during my high school years, and he taught with such excellence that I was drawn to that light. And I'm so thankful that I attended that church that this teacher and his family were part of. God used that community to help me grow closer to him. And so a wholehearted effort in whatever we're doing, while also showing care and concern for people, can be a light. It's one way to let Christ's light shine, bringing out God colors in the world. So we can express Christ's light by loving others generously and living out the golden rule, and also by working wholeheartedly wherever God places us. And the third way that we can express his light as well is through words. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven." But this can be hard to do sometimes, right? Especially in our pluralistic culture. And of course, we want to be respectful. And so some of us feel a tension in this. About 20 years ago, I was working as a public school teacher as well in the Lower Mainland. And same for me, in that workplace, I wasn't able to share the message of the gospel with words. But I did open up a little bit. I went public a little bit with my faith in the staff room during lunch break or coffee break. And so sometimes if teachers asked me what I did that previous weekend, I would say that I went to church. Or I would describe some church event that I had been involved with the previous day. And so most of the staff at the school knew that I was a Christ follower. And one day after school, one of my colleagues invited me into her classroom because she wanted someone to talk to. She was facing a very difficult decision in her life, and it was very stressful for her. She was considering taking legal action against someone in her family who had seriously and repeatedly harmed her when she was a child. She was an agnostic, and she didn't normally attend church, and yet she specifically asked me what I thought about this. decision she was facing. And she specifically asked me as well about Scripture and what I thought Scripture said about it. And so I was able to talk with her for a few minutes about some of the pros and cons about taking legal action against someone in your family. And I was able to pray with her that the Spirit would guide her and give her wisdom in this decision. And so sometimes just by opening up a bit and letting others know that we follow Christ, this might create an opportunity for someone to approach us if they need someone to talk to or maybe someone to pray with. This past summer, John from our evening community here went for a bike ride at sunrise at Mount Seymour with a friend. And when he was there, there was very few people on the trail that day because for the previous 2 weeks, there had been a bear warning in effect. And when John and his friend got to the trailhead, they noticed one person biking alone. And so they struck up a conversation with this person and they invited him to bike along with them just for safety because of the bear warning. And while they were out biking, John found out that this person is new to Vancouver. And so a couple of weeks later, John decided to reach out to this person because he's living out the golden rule. He's like that. And he wanted to just welcome this newcomer to Vancouver. And so they went out for a snack one Sunday afternoon in the area here. And John decided to open up a bit. And he went public a bit with his face with this person. And he told this person that he was going to be coming to an evening service just after their time together. And he also invited this person to join him, even though this person didn't normally attend church. And so I was so thankful to meet him in the foyer after the service and just have a short conversation with him to welcome him here. And so sometimes just by opening up a bit, you know, and going public a bit, and even inviting someone to this service can be a way that the Holy Spirit can use to draw people closer to himself. At 10th, you know, we really want to be people who shine and we want to bring out God colors in the world here in Vancouver. And we also want to do this in other parts of the world by God's grace. At 10th, we have a heart for partnering with other people around the world. And like Jeff mentioned, we've been standing alongside people in Cambodia for about 15 years. And like Jeff mentioned, you're probably aware of the genocide and the mass killings that happened in Cambodia in the 70s. And Selah is someone who experienced the horror and the darkness of the killing fields in Cambodia firsthand when he was a boy. He managed to escape to a refugee camp near the border of Cambodia and Thailand, and it was there that he discovered Christ. And you saw a picture of him earlier. He has become a Christ follower. He discovered Christ in that refugee camp. He's been experiencing God's love. He's been filled with God's light. He's been mentoring young people in Cambodia and leaders as well. He's been shining for Christ. He's been reflecting Christ's light. He's been bringing out God colors in the world. Have you experienced God's loving embrace like Selah has? You know, like my high school teacher did, like John has and others? And have you opened up your hearts and lives to God's light by engaging with spiritual practices? I see many of you opening up your lives and living generous lives and shining, bringing out God colors. And I encourage you to carry on. And I encourage you to continue opening up your hearts and lives so that you can receive God's light and love on an ongoing basis, so that you can share from a position of strength. And there are many dark places in our city and around the world, and this can sometimes feel overwhelming. But we each can make a difference. Desmond Tutu once wrote, "Do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world." You know, there's a sense that each one of us here and our community, we can be like a lighthouse, sharing light with others. You know, and thinking back to that camping trip a number of years ago, we can be like a flashlight, illuminating a path that would otherwise be in the dark. And so I just want to invite you to take a moment now to consider if the Spirit is inviting you to a next step. Could the Spirit be inviting you to lean more into spiritual practices, opening up your hearts to more and more of His light? Could God be calling you to live out the golden rule increasingly in your lives? Could the Spirit be inviting you to open up a little, go public a bit, and let someone know that you follow Christ, and maybe invite that person here? Let's take a moment just to pray together as a community, considering these invitations from God. Let's pray. God of light, we are thankful for your bright and illuminating and warm presence with us. We pray, God, that each person here would experience your loving embrace again and again. We pray that each of us here would engage with spiritual practices that you can use to fill us with your love and your light. Shape us, Lord God, into people who are characterized by loving others, putting others first. Shape us into people who do our best with whatever we're doing, with wholehearted effort. Show us if there's someone that we can just tell that we attend church and maybe invite them here sometime. Help us, God, to open up a bit and go public a bit. Enable us to shine. Enable us to bring out your colors in this world. And we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.